Before I start with our scripture this morning, there's one specific person I need to thank, along with the rest of you, for your support, and that would be my husband, who is right there. Who suffered a certain amount of neglect during the seminary process and has eaten more frozen dinners than most of you. So, and now to Psalm 27. Our Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter, in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Thou hast said, seek ye my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Turn not thy servant away in anger, thou who hast been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. This is the word of God. Well, King David lived 1,000 years before Christ. He wrote many psalms, praising God and expressing his thanks for all that God had done for him during his life. As Christians, we sometimes emphasize the eternal protection of God rather than the rewards of our faith in our everyday, contemporary lives. Jesus himself demonstrated to us that God rewards a life of faith, but not necessarily while we're living it. Jesus did not experience a long life and comfortable circumstances in his time on earth. So we too have an understanding that lasting rewards logically belong to life after death. But David has a very important reminder for us. He trusted in God in this life and used that trust to move forward into difficult circumstances. And by his example, he encourages us to do that too. David was someone who knew about the active intervention of God. God instructed the prophet Samuel to actively seek David out, even though David was the youngest son in a family of many sons. Samuel found David shepherding his father's sheep. As instructed, he anointed him as the future king of Israel on the spot. This happened while there was already another living king of Israel, Saul. To say the least, The succession was not orderly. David fought many battles over a period of many years to become what God had called him to be. David's declaration that God was his light and salvation was not a statement David made because he had a trusting personality. It was a statement based on repeated experiences of close calls and deliverance. Those enemies he referred to in the psalm were not figments of his imagination. They were real people and circumstances, and there were a lot of them. Paul makes a very similar statement in Romans when he affirms, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Paul's life as a Christian was one of hardship. He experienced rough and dangerous travel, arrests by a variety of authorities, attacks by mobs, and constant problems with opposition, both within the churches he founded and outside of them. But his words, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" were the words of someone who had triumphed in the power and protection of God again and again. John Wesley often remembered and spoke Paul's words. Wesley believed that God supported him in the ministry that God had called him to, and that strengthened him in the face of the many people and circumstances that were against him. I was reminded of this the other day when I was reading about one of his preaching experiences. You are not to take this as permission to do what you're going to hear about, okay? The year was 1752. The setting was outdoors. John Wesley often preached outdoors, sometimes because he was not welcome in the churches of his own denomination, sometimes because he attracted crowds so huge that they wouldn't fit in a church, and sometimes because he believed that if you want to reach people, you have to go where there are a lot of them. In his diary, Wesley writes this: "Between 5 and 6, the coach called and took me to Myton Carr, about half a mile from the town. A huge multitude, rich and poor, horse and foot, with several coaches, were soon gathered together, to whom I cried with a loud voice and a composed spirit, 'What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?' Some thousands of the people seriously attended, but many behaved as if possessed by Moloch. Clods and stones flew about on every side, but they neither touched nor disturbed me. When I had finished my discourse, I went to take coach, but the coachman had driven clear away. We were at a loss until a gentlewoman invited my wife and me to come into her coach. She had brought some inconvenience on herself by doing that, not only as there were 9 of us in the coach, but also as the mob closely attended us, throwing in at the windows whatever came next to hand. But a large gentlewoman who sat in my lap screened me so that nothing came near me." God provided for John Wesley, even to the point of providing an ample gentlewoman instead of a skinny one. Each of us, when we are baptized, promises to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, to repent, to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, and to reject the evil powers of the world. Each of us accepts the freedom and power that God gives us to do that. The words renounce, resist, and reject remind us that in some ways, life is a battle. If we're not at war with the unjust circumstances around us, we're at war with our own competing needs. David, along with the Apostle Paul and John Wesley, reminds us that we can call on God here and now for the blessings of God's protection, strength, and sustaining. We don't call on them because we're entitled to them. God's blessings are always a privilege rather than a right. We call on them because we truly want the world to be ruled by the will of God in justice and mercy. We call on them because we're willing to engage the forces that obstruct God's will in the world around us and the forces that obstruct God's will in our own lives. One of the ways that God supports us is through our relationships and our faith community. When we feel that we have a call from God to do something in our own lives, our faith community can support us. I remember many years ago when I was in the congregation at Paradise Valley, one of the teenagers who attended our youth group helped start a program called the Breakfast Club. Once a month, the youth would take protein bars, oranges, and bottles of water downtown and give breakfast to people who lived on the streets. They also offered to pray with them. One day, a homeless man said he would like to go to church with them. John Katoff, a youth leader and businessman who was a member of the church, agreed to bring him. The homeless man, Ernie, sat in the front row of the church with John and the youth. He did this every week for several weeks. And over time, he shared with them that he had made a lot of mistakes in his life, but he didn't want to be homeless anymore. When they heard about it, the congregation came together to help. One member found Ernie a low-level job at his company. Others helped him find a home at a trailer park. The youth helped him pay for clothes and furnishings by raising funds with a series of car washes, where Ernie also worked. He continued to come faithfully to church. He remained employed. He made contact with his mother and other family members that he hadn't spoken to in years. Out of that experience, the Open Table Ministry was born, which takes individual homeless people who want to reclaim their lives and places them with congregations who want to help them accomplish that. It all seems linear and logical when I look at it in hindsight, but I remember it didn't seem that way at the time. There were a lot of questions that needed to be answered. Was Ernie serious? Would he actually show up and come to church? Was he a safe person to be around, especially with our youth? How do you start from ground zero and help someone who has so little? Was it really possible that someone could change so much? Lots of discernment needed to be done, and lots of prayers needed to be said. But the people who started that ministry, including Ernie himself, kept calling on the Lord. Ernie has continued to do well. And now there are Open Table ministries in more than 100 communities and 20 states. This has not made a huge dent in the homeless population overall, but the changes for the individuals involved have been remarkable. Each of us is a frail and fallible human being. We're not built to last in the same way that rocks and mountains are built to last. David knew that. At the end of his life, he knew he'd done things that he shouldn't have done. Other things that he should have done, he hadn't. These actions and omissions had repercussions for his family and his dynasty and his country. God forgives our sins, But God does not erase the consequences of our sins. Those consequences are passed on to the people who come after us. But despite this, God's protection and sustaining have a lasting effect. God does forgive when we repent. God forgives, and further, he promises us the light of his salvation. God's light shines not just in this life, but throughout eternity. It guides us now and beyond this life into the next. God calls each of us not because we're perfect, but because he has work for us to do. He'll support us and equip us as we do it. Let's rejoice in the light of God's strength and support in this life. Let's use it to bring light to others, the light of hope, the light of forgiveness and reconciliation, the light of sustaining and care. Believe, as David believed, that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Be strong, let your hearts take courage, and wait for the Lord. Amen.